This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank. Some things should be boring, like banking. Boring is safe and reliable. You don't want your bank to be entertaining. Entertaining is for podcasts with inspiring celebrity guests, not banks. PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life. PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865. Brilliantly boring since 1865 is the service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Inc. PNC Bank, National Association, member FDIC. It's the time of year when we're all thinking about goals and priorities. Now is the time to plan your next trip. Whatever kind of travel fills you up, whether it's lounging on the beach, connecting with family and friends, or going on a foreign adventure, Expedia has the tools you need to plan a great trip. Download the Expedia app or visit Expedia.com to start planning. You do need to be a One Key member to use price tracking. Signing up is easy and free. Expedia, made to travel.
I'm Oprah Winfrey. Welcome to Super Soul Conversations, the podcast. I believe that one of the most valuable gifts you can give yourself is time. Taking time to be more fully present. Your journey to become more inspired and connected to the deeper world around us starts right now. Welcome to Oprah's 2020 Visionary Talks. From the stage of my own 2020 Vision, Your Life in Focus Tour, WW Weight Watchers Reimagined, and I join forces to bring you candid conversations with some of the world's most famous trailblazers, whose story of wellness will empower you to discover the highest, truest vision for your life.
All right, we're ready. I can tell you that it means so much to me that when we first announced this, first of all, I'd never like asking anybody to do anything for me because I don't like having favors out there in the world. But it was so incredible when we started this idea of the tour and were able to get this wonderful lineup of visionaries and thought leaders who said yes to join us on the WW Presents Vision Tour. And Amy Schumer represents everything it means to be fearless, to be funny, to be vulnerable, and wholly yourself, no matter who is watching. Please welcome Amy Schumer!
Montage.
Look at your montage, so nice.
That's how I identify, is just a girl in her lingerie and heels.
So Amy had what sounds like a really tough week, which makes it all the more special that you would give up your Saturday, as everyone else has given up their Saturday, to make the trip to come to Charlotte.
Who doesn't want to spend their Saturday with Oprah in
Charlotte?
Come on!
Really, was it a grueling week? What's going on?
This week was really tough. But I do feel better. I had IVF this week. I don't know what that stands for, but I know I had it. And then I had my egg retrieval on Monday, which is also the last time I pooped. I said I wasn't going to say it, but I did.
Yeah.
You can't poop after. But I've been feeling rough all week, but yeah. I feel better today, and knowing I was coming to see you.
And you've been sharing this IVF journey on social media.
Yes, I have been posting about IVF. I just thought I'll share it.
Yeah, because one time we posted you were feeling run down and pretty emotional because your hormones are like all over the place, right?
Yeah, they're still all over the place, so like watch out. I mean, it was really, you get shot with a ton of hormones. I still have my, the bruises from where you get the shots. I mean, I don't want to discourage anyone, but it hurts. those shots hurt, and then you get to have the egg retrieval, and then after, you know, your ovaries are filling up with fluid. IVF, guys, woo!
And during this time, I saw you posted where you were asking other people just to send me any advice you have about it. Did you get any good advice?
Well, you know, it's not something that there have been some people who have been really open about it. I know Gabrielle Union had, and just people who they've shared their journeys with it. But I didn't really have like a big group to ask about it, so I was like, yeah. Well, why don't I ask everybody?
and see what
you know,
happens.
Get all the tips. Just like you guys have Connect, right? Yeah. For WW, I used my Instagram and asked like, what should I know? What do you wish you knew? And man, like. Women were just really down to reach out and share and help me and like hold my hand through it.
I love that you came in your sweats. So Amy sent me a text earlier and said, do you think this is okay to wear? I go, you should wear whatever makes you feel comfortable.
Yeah.
And you were having a stylist come over and they were going to do the whole dress thing. And
I got a dress.
You got
it's
a dress.
Hanging up in my closet.
I said, it's Charlotte. They're going to love you just
me.
The way you
I
are.
I know. I do love Charlotte. I've performed here a lot.
Really?
Yeah. Mostly for the Hornets, but also I perform stand-up. My husband won't watch this, right? No, and I just ate some biscuits backstage that will change your life. Yeah, the food here. It's not
and
a
so
joke.
So you don't do the point thing or anything?
No, I use all my points on these biscuits.
I was going to say, because a biscuit can take you down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, you said that this whole process has taught you to actually be more patient and kind with yourself. What does that look like for you, patience and kindness showing up for yourself?
I think as women, I know there are men here too, and I don't want to alienate you, but I think as women, the expectations on us are so high to always be okay, always look your best, feel your best, you know, and so wait, what am I talking about?
You're talking about this process of being kinder to yourself.
Kinder to myself, okay. You know when you're talking and then you look out and you're like, there are truly 15,000 people here and Oprah. I'm like, am I high? I'm not high. But I'm like, I think I'm high. It's really easy to feel guilty all the time, especially now having a baby. Like just that self-guilt, the self-hate, and it can get to me too. And what do you say to your friends? You know, like give yourself the advice you give your friends. Love yourself like you're your own mother, you know? Like be kind to yourself.
Be kind to yourself.
You know, so just, it's those feelings of guilt, they're useless and they're not real. And
do you have them now as a new mother? Like, are you doing it right? Do you have those, am I doing it right?
Yeah, it's, and you know, and I'm working and like, I know there's working mom vibes out in this audience. It's a constant, there's a constant like just cycle of guilt and shame about it. You're like, should I be with my baby all the time? Like somebody else is taking care of my child right now. But really, what I've learned for myself is, like, the best thing you can do is to take care of yourself so that when you show up for your kids, you are
fill
the best
your
version
cup
of
first.
Yourself.
Absolutely.
It's no question.
But I do love the fact that you said, look, I'm going to come, I'm going to do this for you, and then I'm going to go right out. I'm not even going to wait to say goodbye to you backstage.
Can you believe it? I'm not going to say goodbye to you.
No. So let's just do it now. Bye.
Bye. It was so good seeing you. You look amazing.
So much.
Thank you.
For coming.
Love to Gail.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You said your hope now, so the reason you're going through all this IVF is so that you can have a sibling for Jean.
Yeah.
Because you thought just having one would not suffice.
No. Having one, and if you want to have one kid, do you. No pressure. I think my husband really wanted us to have another one because we love him so much. I think he thinks that it's creepy. You know what I mean? Like, just obsessed, you know? And he thinks, like, we gotta have another one so that you don't make him into, like, a complete weirdo. I'm really close with my sister, and so we were like, we gotta try to get a sibling.
And so you had a really, really difficult pregnancy. I mean, not just morning sickness, but morning sickness every day. Like, you were calling me from different states, like, I have connections.
Like, I was, like, calling you, like,
I'm in Tennessee, do you know a doctor?
Do you know someone who can give me an IV in Chicago? I'm dying. I'm on the floor. I had hyperemesis. Which I also have endometriosis, and you know, it's a lot. There's not a lot of research on these women's issues because that's what they are. They're women. I mean, they now have chewable Viagra, but they can't throw us a bone with endometriosis. Give some money to the studies for ladies, also, please. But yeah, I was so sick. I couldn't keep anything down. I was hospitalized.
Four times.
Like, you know.
Were you really afraid, though, during that time? Because you're thinking, I could lose this baby.
1 in 3 women with hyperemesis lose the baby.
Oh.
And something like 50% lose their jobs. You can't work. If you've ever had food poisoning, it's that. I had that for 9.5 months. Because you know you're not pregnant for 9 months. That is a lie. I don't know why they say 9 months, and you start doing the math, and you go, it's 10 months.
At least, right?
I mean, it really is.
And I heard that one of your takeaways from all of this was that women are just warriors.
We are warriors, all of us. I mean, for real. That is what I learned. I didn't just learn how strong I was. I really learned as a whole how strong women are. And, you know, men are great too. And, like, that's awesome. And you guys can, like, throw a touchdown. But, like, can you make a baby? We can make a baby with our body.
Yeah, yeah. It's growing,
like,
in there.
You know, football's great, but, like, make a baby.
It's pretty amazing when you think about
it's
it.
It's amazing.
Pretty amazing.
And just the pain.
Everybody in here made a baby. Give yourself a high five.
Woohoo!
Woo! Look at y'all.
Are you ready to unlock your inner greatness? If so, make sure to listen to my podcast, The School of Greatness, hosted by me, Lewis Howes. Join me as I sit down with world-class performers, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders to uncover their secrets to success with new episodes every single week. Whether you're striving for personal growth, business mastery, or simply seeking inspiration, The School of Greatness has something for you, and you can find it on SiriusXM, Pandora, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Subscribe and follow to the show so you never miss an episode and start your journey to greatness today.
So you're pretty much an open book on social media, particularly your posts about being a new mom. I enjoyed your hospital underwear photo.
Oh, good. I was hoping this would come up again. Woohoo! Look at that.
Why do you like it so much?
Why do I love those underwear?
Yeah.
Oh my God, they're a dream.
Why?
You know how, like, we're supposed to be able to put on, like, my friend Mia Jackson, a hilarious comedian, has a joke about this. Oh, my God. I mean, sorry, taken. Married, sorry. My friend Mia has a joke about that, like, girls are supposed to look cute in their, like, boyfriend's clothes, you know? But she's really tall, and so she's like, it just fits right, you know?
Yeah.
And for me, it's like, I never feel underwear. I'm always like, ugh. Like, I guess I'll go up a size. But you know when you put on some big underwear, you feel like, I'm a little baby. I'm little, you know. I'm like, drowning in this underwear. So that underwear makes me feel really good about myself.
Fantastic. Also, I think, is this a way of you sort of diffusing the fame and remaining authentic? These kinds of posts?
I think...
Is that important for you?
I think so. You know, being authentic has become the most important thing to me.
Yeah.
And I think with social media, you know, you follow people and when they're just like, look how perfect. And no offense, because I'm guessing that this is an audience that sends out Christmas cards, but like... like, I know your Christmas cards are hanging in everyone's house, but I'm like... You know, I want to see a little bit more of the truth. You know, don't show me your family on your best day.
Yeah.
Like, what's really going on? And I grew up with, like, a very broken home, and I didn't feel, like, that perfection. And rather than feeling bad about it, I just wanted to share it because I think a lot of people can relate. And everybody's going through,
you know,
their own hard times.
And you don't seem to, you know, I'm really interested in this whole subject of shame and how that holds us back. You don't seem to have any. Yeah, I think that's great.
You are so
funny.
Because,
you know, you pose nude, and then you laugh about how everyone says, oh, how brave you are that you pose nude.
I, to be honest, I So you get a lot of advice when you're pregnant. Everybody yeah. wants to tell you. And I think they have good intentions, but a lot of it's pretty pushy. And so people say to you, you know, do whatever you want. If you want to have a C-section, you want to have it natural, whatever you want, do you. But really, their subtext is like, try to have a natural birth. You better push that baby out with no drugs, you know? And so, and then I was getting advice like prenatal yoga really helps. And so I immediately signed up for a C-section. I'm not, never, you'll never see me, never. I did, but I had a C-section. I opted for a C-section, which, you know, that just can really... I mean, I did. I came out the sunroof, and I was so sick for so long, and I knew because of endometriosis I probably wasn't going to be able to have him vaginally. And some women can feel like you failed. I've heard people say that. If you have a C-section, they feel like you failed.
Because there's a lot. You were saying you never recognized that before, that there was so much judgment. I know you went back to work after Gene was born, and then people were like, oh, you're going back to work.
Yeah,
soon.
What are you doing? You should be home with the baby. And I was like, they're probably right. I was really too vulnerable to be on stage. But with things like that and with breastfeeding... Again, it's like breastfeed until you have, like, give him the last. And again, people go, whatever, if you want to. But really the subtext is you better feed him with your boobs. Like, you better. But it wasn't right for our family. It was too much on me. And I was starting to feel bad. And I was like, and it occurred to me, I can stop breastfeeding. And Serena Williams gave me great advice on great formula. And also, you know, like the greatest generation was raised on formula. Like people have been fine on formula. And he's so healthy, so good. And yeah. And that pressure is real. But what I realized was that it was self-inflicted. I'm not trying to vilify the other women that said these things to me. It's going to happen. You're going to feel all these pressures and about a lot of different things about being a mom or just being a woman. But if you let it get to you, that's on you. Like, I had to stop and say, no, this is all self-inflicted. I'm going to get rid of this guilt and do what's right for me and my family yeah. and what makes me feel healthy.
That means you're a different kind of woman. That to me is what a real feminist is. And I know you yeah. have your own ideas about it, right?
I've tried to do that with my friends who are pregnant now, you know, just like really. Not, and also don't ask people. Even asking, are you going to breastfeed? Don't worry about who's eating from her breasts. Leave her alone.
Stay in your own lane.
Just say, I hope yes. you're healthy and you feel good and you're doing whatever you need to take care of yourself.
But you're able to take the stuff that would embarrass, I think, most people and to turn it into not only a badge of courage, but even make a joke about it sometimes, right?
That's true. I can't help it. I think... We've talked about this a little bit before, but it is a little bit... It started as a defense mechanism.
Yeah.
And then I realized it really does make me feel better, and it makes other people feel better, you know?
But does criticism ever get to you?
Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. But not... I mean, not about my looks. When I mean, I've been trolled on the internet for so long. I'm actually, like, worried because I haven't been trolled that much lately. Like, where are they? Like, did they... Did they grow up and like, I hope they grew up and they got families and they found some peace, but like, I haven't been, I was so trolled for so long, and where are the trolls? Like, I need to hire a detective to make sure they're okay.
Did you start making fun of yourself because it was sort of a defense mechanism early on as a kid?
I think so. I think when I was younger, like, you know, I was definitely bullied and shocking. Every comedian, like, you'll never meet a comedian who was like, it was all good. Like, it was just good and just happy. I was really bullied and also I still feel this way. If I think everyone in a room is thinking something, I want to be the one to say it. You know, that makes you feel like you have a certain power, but I don't really do that anymore.
That's what the good comedians can do.
Yeah, you kind of diffuse the room by saying the thing we're all thinking. But I do
think
that's...
I asked Tina Fey this last week, and her answer surprised me. Is there anything that should be off limits to making a joke about?
Yeah. What did she say? I thought I
she
watched
said
her.
No.
She said no. Well, she's an evil person. And I'm glad that we finally learned that about Tina Fey.
No, I was surprised.
Oh, Tina actually gave me a joke to say.
What?
She said, she said she had so much fun with you, first of all. And she said that this event should be called Ocella.
Ocella. We'll take it.
That's pretty good,
we'll
right?
We'll take it. Pretty good, Tina.
Yeah, but I do think some things are off limits. I do. And I know that because I have said those jokes. It doesn't feel good. It honestly just doesn't feel good. Like, I used to do roasts. I was in the Comedy Central roasts. And, one person, thank you. And I realized, like, you think, nobody gets their feelings hurt. It's a roast. It's what you're supposed to do. But, no, people, it hurts your feelings. And I've had my feelings hurt. And so I don't want to hurt people's feelings. So if I think that there's someone out there and it's going to hurt their feelings, I'm not going to say it anymore.
That's really good.
Yeah.
I think that's good.
It makes me feel better.
Yes.
Whatever comedian, whatever you want to do, but I think there's some off-limits stuff.
So earlier today, I was sharing the story about how getting pneumonia actually helped me be happier and more grateful for the body that I have. And last year, you said, filming the movie, I Feel Pretty, actually pushed you to do the work to fall in love with yourself.
Thank you.
I love that movie.
Thank you, Just This Row.
I thought that was a really great movie.
Thank you. The critics, now that we're talking, yeah, that was, but also about criticism, I just want to say that I have learned from it also. You can't say, oh, they're always wrong. Like, I have learned from good critics. You know, right. There are some really talented critics out there. But I learned to fall in love with myself during I Feel Pretty because being on camera and being right out the gate asked to lose weight and whatever. And like Tina, like, you know, I went to some people, like, can you believe they want me to lose weight for this thing? And they go, like, just lose weight. And you go, all right, you know? But for me, the way I was losing weight to be in the movie Trainwreck.
Wait for it.
So rude. Just move. I was hungry. Okay, like,
hungry.
I was hungry. It was not, you know, and my friends who are actresses who are like, no, like, I found this way. I'm like, well, for me, like, I don't want to be hungry, and I was hungry. And then I did something, and this is a sacrilege, I think, to WW, I'm not sure, but I haven't weighed myself in, like, 8 years. Like, I don't know what those numbers are. I couldn't even begin to tell you. And being pregnant and not knowing your weight, like, every time, then what do you weigh? And I'm like, I don't know. And they're like, what do you mean? Do you have a ballpark? I'm like, I have no idea. Like, your guess is as good as mine.
And why is that?
Because for me, knowing that number, like, I would get obsessed with it. And so not even thinking about that number and thinking about how I feel and knowing
that's
I'm
great.
Putting nourishing foods in my body.
That's great.
And exercising, like, I don't need those numbers to tell me. That's how I feel. For me, that's what's right.
That's great.
Everyone is a different doing me. But I wanted to, with I Feel Pretty, I wanted to get to a place and I wanted to be teaching people to love the skin that you're in right now. Love this here today version of yourself. Don't be, you know, we're all striving for something, but love yourself right here and right now. Like, the skin you're in without being like, oh, if I can just get that, then I'll be able to love myself.
The win comparisons.
The win.
Yeah. So you've been married now 2 years.
Yes.
Yes. Is it everything you thought it would be? Or
it's,
more?
It's better. I never wanted to get married. I never wanted to have kids. I didn't even think about it. Like, little girls play wedding. I was, like, playing that I was a fortune teller, you know? Like, I was like, oh, Madame Levitsky. You know, it was like I was playing characters. But then I met this dude, and I was like, I want to partner up with you for life. And I do want to get the government involved. And I... I want you to sign. I want to make a vow. Everyone here heard you, and now you are mine. We fell in love, and I could see what that partnership would look like, and I fell in love.
And I heard your wedding was pretty hilarious, which was clear from the moment there was a man dressed as a woman who officiated and began with Dearly Beloved and Seth Meyers.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
You separated Seth Meyers from the Dearly Beloved. Yeah, Seth Meyers was there. We had a really fun last-minute wedding, and we were just like, we wanted to be married. That's why, you know, we didn't want to, like, plan a wedding for a long time. We were like, we just wanted to be married. So we sort of got it out of the way.
And how did you know that Chris was the one for you?
His confidence, his self-assuredness. He was so confident about us, too. I just loved him, and I just liked him. One night, we just sat there. We were just friends at first for, 6 months, and we were just sitting there watching old episodes of Arrested Development, and and we were reading. There's a part, you know, the New Yorker shouts and murmurs, and he was reading me one of his favorite ones, and we just laughed at the same stuff. We liked the same stuff, and he's hot, and I wanted to tap that.
Did you just say that?
I'd like to apologize. That was... Oh, but you know what he said to me? I don't know if you were ever like this. Well, I do know you were like this, and I think a lot of us can identify with this. When you start liking someone, you have feelings, you are afraid of getting hurt, so you just don't... You want to just either sabotage it right away, or just know how it's going to end right away.
Right,
you
right,
know,
right.
We're used to some level of control, so what's going to happen here? And so I was texting him early on in our relationship. I said, well, I just hope you know, I don't know if I want kids, so if that's something you're looking for, I don't know if that's going to be me. And he said, he wrote back, I do want kids, and I want them with you, and when we have a family, we're dating for 3 months at this point, and we'll have a beautiful family, and I can't wait.
What did you do?
I know, right where I was standing in my closet, I had to hold the wall. I was like, hold on a minute. Because, you know, you just see yourself.
This is 3 months in, because
Yeah. But it was easy right away. It makes, when you find the person that you want to be with, it's easy.
Up.
It's not.
And during your Netflix special, Growing, in 2019.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you, Growing, Netflix.
Netflix. You shared that Chris was diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder.
Right.
Am I saying it correctly?
Yeah, ASD, autism spectrum disorder.
And you say that all of the characteristics that actually make it clear that he is on the spectrum are the things that make you love him so much.
Yeah.
Like what?
Well, he's so direct. I mean, I was about to leave this morning.
Yeah.
And I'm the car's there. And I'm is this okay? And he goes, well, it's really too late. And he was right. It was too late. It honestly was too late. And he will just say things to people and not know that he just completely crushed them.
Yeah.
And just, his honesty is so beautiful to me. And
it's kind of no filter.
No filter.
No
none,
filter.
Which it could be hard. It could be challenging at times. Also, but it's also a superpower where I think, you know, he now people know he has autism. So. Which I think is the benefit, was one of the benefits to being diagnosed, is people don't make him feel like he's bad or wrong. He has different brain chemistry. And I think, you know, a child being diagnosed could, you know, instead of it being about the stigma of it could help them feel like they're not bad. Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
I wish he'd been tested at a younger age, because I think it also makes a lot of people around you stressed and upset with you when it's not their fault.
Right. You said his superpower. What's yours?
Oh, I can do a ton of drugs. No, I'm just kidding. and be fine. No.
Are you ready to unlock your inner greatness? If so, make sure to listen to my podcast, The School of Greatness, hosted by me, Lewis Howes. Join me as I sit down with world-class performers, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders to uncover their secrets to success with new episodes every single week. Whether you're striving for personal growth, business mastery, or simply seeking inspiration, The School of Greatness has something for you, and you can find it on SiriusXM, Pandora, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Subscribe and follow to the show so you never miss an episode and start your journey to greatness today.
Didn't you say that your dream in life is to get, we both have a dream in life.
Yeah.
And that is to get Gail to
smoke weed.
To smoke weed.
We're looking at you, Gail. We're talking about wellness today, right?
Yes. No, in all the years, in all the years that I've been besties with Gail, and that's since 1976, and been with Stedman since 1685. In all those years, neither he nor Gail has ever had a sip of anything, and Gail still thinks weed is a marijuana cigarette.
Oh my
so
God,
when you say,
Gail.
Gail, have you ever smoked weed? And she's like, no, I never had a marijuana cigarette. Well, I guess not. If you're calling it a marijuana cigarette.
You know, it's never nice to drug someone, and I'm very against that.
Yes.
But if
but
we
if
just
we could
make
ever do
Gail
it, it would
a
be
couple
just one
brownies.
Time.
Right, just
yes.
one.
It's
just one,
time. One
little.
And then we'll Instagram it so y'all can see. Be great.
I think women, I think, you know, in terms of all the things out there, weed is on the more harmless level and can really help.
The least we could do is give her some CBD oil.
Give her a CBD gummy.
I mean, no, the other day I was just like, Gail, just take it. It's going to be great because she has, like, these bad knees. And I go, it's going to be great for your knees. I don't know if I want marijuana in my knees.
Poor Gail.
Yes.
We just want to haze her.
Yes.
We do.
Okay, so how does being married to a chef work? Does it mean he's fixing fancy things for you all the time?
I want to say no because you guys won't hate me, but yes. Like, every night, bitches, I'm telling you. It's true. It's amazing. Whoever you're with, dump them and find a chef. Oh. It's just true. And he's, you know, he grew up on Martha's Vineyard, and he was all about, like, real farm to table. And
yeah.
It's just really nourishing, great foods. And
so
our son is
cook,
having all
purees. You don't cook for him?
No. And he doesn't stand there and tell me jokes, you know? He,
Good. Good. Good, good, good.
We stay in our lane.
So great, so great. Have you ever, like, really tanked on stage? Have you ever, like...
Oh, my God. Yes. In this state. Like, I've definitely... I've bombed all over the country. I really have.
And what
you
is
have
it
to do bad.
You have to do bad.
You have to do bad to do better. You have to. I mean, that's... You need those low lows to appreciate the highs.
And what
do
they teach you?
Well, first of all, when you're first just not doing well in stand-up, the instinct is to, like, just go to the next joke and hope that goes better, and you're really needy in the crowd. And, you know, you can feel the difference of when someone is talking to you and you feel at ease.
Yeah.
Versus when you feel bad for them. So you just have to realize all your fears on stage. Like, everything happened to me, you know? Like somebody charged the stage, somebody threw a bottle at me. You know, it was like, so everything has happened, you know. I performed at a hunger strike by accident. I all my worst fears came true on stage, you know. It's like boxing. It's like you're afraid of getting hit, then you get hit so much you're not afraid of it anymore, and that's how it is with stand-up. I have no fears anymore because they all came true, you know? And, you just get more confident, you just get better. You gotta, you know, you get better when you work hard. There's no exception to that, you know?
Not at all for any of us. So,
Oh, but you asked me backstage and I wanted to tell you.
Yeah.
A couple comedians, because sometimes people will say to me, you're my favorite female comedian. And I say, okay, who's your favorite male comedian? And then they go, I don't know. I go, well, maybe I'm just your favorite comedian. you know, like, you don't say, oh, you're my favorite female chef. Like, you can just say the thing. So, but I did want to list Mia Jackson, Erin Jackson, Chelsea Peretti, Marina Franklin, Janelle James, Rachel Feinstein, Bridget Everett. Check them all out. Because you will laugh as my favorite comics. Yeah.
Wow.
Those names, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Say it again.
Mia Jackson, Erin Jackson, not related. Janelle James, Rachel Feinstein, Bridget Everett, Marina Franklin.
Okay, so I was going to ask
Chelsea
you,
Peretti.
What is the thing that never fails to make you laugh, aside from those comedians?
Oh, gosh. Something that never fails to make me laugh. Well, I would say, it's cheesy. My baby.
Yeah.
Ugh, who cares, Amy? Shut up.
Do you know immediately when you have written something funny, or do you have to test it to know?
I will. Sometimes I'll really think I've got something cooking, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'll call my sister. I always call her first. And sometimes she just says no. She'll go, no, bye. And she never laughs, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. You know, she'll just go, that's funny. I'm like, well, then why aren't you laughing? Your body's supposed to have a reaction to that. But no, like I was on this last tour, I was pregnant. And so I came up with a line, and I'll just kind of say it around her and see. And I said, you know, when you're pregnant, you're still you. You know, you're still working and traveling and drinking, you know. And she really laughed at that. And I said, well, it's going in the act.
So do you think you're born this way funny, or is it a funny gene, or does it come from other stuff?
I do think you're born with it. I think you've got that something that people can just see you and kind of start laughing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you just walk out and, like, people just kind of, there's some artists like that where you see their face, you just laugh. But I think if you work hard at anything, you get better at it. So if you're not funny, I think you can work out how to be a better stand-up. But
do you think you could be close to someone who wasn't funny?
Close?
Yes. I mean, in other words, is lack of a sense of humor a deal-breaker in a relationship?
Not as
for
close
you?
As I can be to someone who's funny. Or even just a great laugher.
Yeah.
You know, but I have to be able to say any sick joke I want around them
to
feel really close to them.
So you were talking about Chris cooking. Are you?
You know, you're best friends. You want to say, like, disgusting stuff
Are
to them.
You always joking at home?
We're always playing at home. We joke a lot.
So there's
we
a lot
do.
Of laughter.
It's a lot of play. A
lot of play.
Yeah. Chris and I, it's a lot of jokes. Actually, we've been role-playing. Yeah. But my thing...
Explain yourself.
Is this not a wellness day? But I always do this. I just always go, okay, I'm in a coma. That's my sex role play. I just... I'm the laziest person you'll ever meet. Really, like, you know, if you're married to someone, you've been with them forever, I find that it's like, you can't really talk dirty anymore. It's like, oh, I'm going to do this to you. He's like, no, you're not. No, he knows. And then you see them. You don't want to be disgusting. And then you're like
exactly
feeding your
what
baby.
You mean.
You know?
I know exactly what you mean. This is like, Sim and I have been together about 10 years, and I had done some show and someone was talking about, you know, how to entice your man or something. And he comes home and I'm like in this black negligee thing on the stairs. And he literally walks by and says, what are you doing? What am I doing? Anyway, so oh I get God. Exactly what you're
cry.
Saying.
That just made me cry laugh. That's hey, so funny. So, yeah, so, you're like, what do you think I'm doing? My taxes.
Hello?
It's hard. It's
yes.
It's so vulnerable to do that stuff.
Yes. So do you have we're committing to a vision.
Yeah.
Do you have one? Now that you have a family, what I love is that whether you know it or not, every person has a dream for their family. And a lot of people haven't articulated that dream. I think people are just working towards, you know, making their families work. That would be another thing to include in your vision. What's the dream for your family? Will you share that?
I will. And that is such a beautiful question. I also, but before that dream for my family, like my dream for myself is that I poop today.
Because it's been since Sunday or Monday.
I can't even tell you. It's like, can the camera see this? It's just... Look at that. Isn't that, it's just sitting there. It's not right. It's not right.
I know.
And I already asked on Instagram IVF tips.
It's been since Sunday or
what?
Monday? It's been since Monday.
Monday.
And this is Saturday?
It's Saturday. How am I even here right now?
I don't know.
And I know what you're all thinking. I've already tried everything. I've tried prunes. I didn't have smooth move tea, but I'm going to. But I was scared if I had it that it would hit right while I was here. And that's not part of anyone's vision for 2020.
True that.
It's
true.
Not, right?
True that. Okay.
When I think of my vision for my family... It is also like, I love how life becomes like, it wasn't even your vision, you know? While we're talking about poop, I just have to say, like, never did I, like, right now, most of my day is me cleaning poop off the tiniest pair of balls you've ever seen in your life, just with a little cotton swab. That was not on my vision board. What I see for my family, what I want, what I wish for, what I see is, and then I'm going to take steps toward, my intention is health, keeping us all as healthy as possible. I really hope our family grows.
And IVF is going to come through for you.
Yeah.
Yes. Do you want two more?
I definitely am hoping for two.
Two.
And... You know, maybe more. I mean, once you have, like, I really have had a beautiful experience having a baby. You know, it's different for everybody, but I really have to recommend, if you've got the resources to have a baby, to have a baby. It's been so life-changing for me, and I really like the guy. And I mean, I picture us all on the beach together and teaching... Maybe a little girl how to play volleyball. Mm.
I hope that vision comes.
Me too. I'm going to try for it.
Thank you, Amy Schumer. I love that you wore that.
Thank you.
Amy Schumer, thank you. Let's say goodbye. Bye.
Bye now.
I'm Oprah Winfrey, and you've been listening to Super Soul Conversations, the podcast. You can follow Super Soul on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. If you haven't yet, go to Apple Podcasts and subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. Join me next week for another Super Soul Conversation. Thank you for listening.